You let Tim know?
Who?
I'm sorry, I mean Chairman Honeycrisp.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, absolutely. I will let the chairman know.
Glad you see things my way. Now, please, get back to work. Because you know what I see when I look at my wrist? My wrist. Where's the watch? Chop, chop. I am jonesing from some jewelry, Craig.
I'll get right on it, Stephen.
All right. Over and out, Granny Smith.
Over and out, Red Delicious.
Hello, and welcome to the Cullcast, the best 30 to 60 minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Airphone Elijah. I'm here with some spectacular gentlemen here to talk about all the great stuff Apple released today. We have the intergalactic chancellor himself, Leander Caney. Leander? Hey, I've also got the interstellar diplomat of beard shapery, Buster Hein. Buster?
Hey, man.
And Alexi Heath is here. Hey, Alex.
Wow, really?
Oh, my goodness. Wow, what a good show we have planned for you guys. We're going to be talking about all the stuff that Apple announced today. We waited to record a little bit later just so we could cover all the products that Apple released, and we'll be talking about all those as well. And hopefully, if we have time, we can talk about some of the products that we didn't see but wanted to, that we had kind of expected might get announced today and then didn't, unfortunately. But before we hop right into the show, I want to thank Squarespace for supporting this episode. The all-new Squarespace 7 is here, guys. It's their largest update in 2 years. And they added a bunch of new features. They made it even easier than ever to build a beautiful website, beautiful website, quickly. And if you haven't tried Squarespace, now is the perfect time. Head on over to squarespace.com. You can sign up for a free trial. You don't even need a credit card number. Sign up takes just about a minute. And you'll be up and running with a website in no time. And I'll be talking about some of their new features here a little later in the show. Okay, guys, let's just hop right into it. We got an iPad Air 2, an iPad Mini 3, a new iMac with a 5K display. We have Yosemite, which just got released. We have iOS 8.1, which is going to be released on Monday the 20th. Actually, before we talk about all the different things that Apple released, can we talk about the actual keynote itself?
Yeah.
Highly entertaining for different parts. I thought I was actually watching SNL. They were doing like all the ad-lib stuff with Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, that
which
part
was
funny
and borderline awkward.
See,
there were moments of it where I was kind of like, I don't know if I can continue watching this. This is getting so awkward.
Yeah, I rewatched it after the event, and I kind of thought it was a little funnier. I thought the audio quality was kind of bad, and that was part of the reason why it was a little awkward.
Mm-hmm. But at least we actually got to watch it this time. This is probably the best stream they've ever had.
Yeah.
There was no Mandarin dubs.
Yeah.
Like, it only stuttered and sputtered maybe 5 or 6 times for me, and then it worked flawlessly. Did you guys have any issues?
Mine was totally fine.
Oh, interesting.
I had some issues, but I think it was my bandwidth.
Yeah, it very possibly could have been like, you know, just like bandwidth issues at your house. Because if it was Apple's, you'd probably really notice it. And they were going out of their way to make the show, I don't know, did it seem like they were trying to make it funnier than they normally do?
Yeah, that Colbert thing plus Federighi's whole like secrecy presentation.
Yeah.
Tim has sent me a note here about doubling down on secrecy at Apple. We want to preserve the same kind of airtight security, or secrecy rather, that makes the announcements at an event like today a shocking revelation to all of you.
The Eddie Q handshake skit that they filmed in advance, that was kind of like really awkward.
You mean like the secret handshake that they did and they filmed?
Yeah.
And I actually thought that was the funniest part of the whole thing. Like when they I thought that was hilarious. Yeah.
Okay.
Leander, are we going to be renamed to Infinite Scoop?
Well, I looked it up. I looked up the URL. It's already been taken.
Yeah, I saw that somebody said Apple just registered it like a few days ago.
Oh, Apple registered it.
Yeah.
Smart. So I kind of feel like maybe because some people were complaining, of course, this happens every keynote, that this was kind of a boring keynote. And maybe they were trying to spruce it up with some comedy, which kind of went sideways for me during certain parts of it. But also, some of it was hilarious. So I guess it just depends on what you're into. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say, Leander?
Well, yeah, you know, Lewis sort of has got a good opinion piece that we just published on the site about this, you know, about, you know, how quote unquote boring the whole thing was. And I think people are absolutely insane. I think they're crazy.
I think so, you know, too.
Like, if you look at, you know, I know it's because people want Apple TV or, you know, a jetpack or, you know, some.
I was disappointed we didn't get
Tesla,
the Apple jetpack.
Or something like that, right. You know, and it's like, oh, you know, new iPads that are thinner than a pencil, that have this astonishing camera, you know, this a beautiful screen. It's now like this crazy portable computer that is so flexible and so accomplished, and people are yawning their heads off. I find it absolutely mad, you know, crazy that they don't, you know, they can't look and look at that 5K iMac. I mean, my God,
this is the, you know, this is the well, technology that people have been asking for such a long time, too.
See, but I think there's a difference. I don't think that the products are boring. I just think the keynote was boring. I don't even know if Apple really needed to have one, because the first 30 minutes were all just rehash of what Apple had already announced at WWDC and the last keynote. So we already knew all that, and they didn't even go into like iPhone 6 numbers or more details. I think they could have done it with like some press releases and stuff like that. I think the iPad Air is great, but I don't know if it was really exciting.
And Phil Schiller sounded like he was giving a eulogy the whole time.
Yeah, he sounded really like bored or sick.
Good morning, everyone. I am so excited to be able to tell you about the incredible new iPad Air 2.
You know,
he sounded like that was the last place on earth he wanted to be. He was like, these are the best products we've ever made. We can't wait for you. Like, that was literally his tone. It was just like,
you know what's funny though, hearing you describe it, is I actually found that part very authentic and engaging.
Oh my gosh.
I felt like
he
was really, you know, passionate about what he was talking about, and he wasn't trying to be funny. How can you upstage Craig Federighi? Like, how could you do it? It's so hard.
If you've seen Schiller present a lot, he was noticeably different today. Like, he was in a funk. Like,
you think
it was
so
weird. And Federighi was okay, but he was nowhere near as funny as he was at WWDC. He was cracking jokes like every 2 seconds during
I thought Federighi was still pretty funny today.
No, he was definitely the best. He was definitely the best part, but yeah. Because without him, it would have been like, oh my gosh, like, I feel like I'm at a funeral. Like,
I thought Tim Cook was pretty good too.
I did think Cook did great.
Yeah,
you know?
he was a bit more relaxed.
Yeah, my live stream was jumping a little bit during his beginning.
Mine too.
But,
yeah.
Yeah,
he made some
He tried to like crack a joke about Beats or something.
Did he start beatboxing on stage?
No, he was like, Jimmy won't give me a pair.
I asked for some Beats, y'all, but he stabbed me. And they stole my drugs. Yeah, I was having a lot of problems during that part too. That was the worst part of it, and then it evened out. I feel like Craig Federighi's part was probably too over rehearsed, and you put him next to a guy like Stephen Colbert, who's like the improv master, and I think it just goes to show how difficult good comedy is, because Stephen Colbert's was actually really funny, but then whenever Craig talked, it just got really awkward for me, like so bad that I was like, oh gosh, I kind of need to turn the volume down on this because I'm starting to feel weird.
Oh, Colbert was the best part of it. Colbert was the best part by far.
Yeah.
What did he called? He called Tim Cook Chairman Honeycrisp.
That's right.
And Craig Federighi was, I think, Granny Smith or something, and Stephen Colbert was Red Delicious. Those were their code names, and he wanted to be the the Chancellor of Secret of Intergalactic,
like the intergalactic secrecy. Chancellor of Secrecy.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
And then he was like, Federighi, get back to work, because you know what happens when I look down at my wrist? I see my wrist.
I know, and that's kind of when Craig started like laughing sheepishly, and I don't really feel like he knew what to say, and I was like, ooh, boy. Bring Bonnet out on the stage and have him touch fingertips with Tim Cook, because this is getting weird. Okay,
I was expecting something like that, because we were at like the awkward like hour and 15 minute mark, and it was like, was Bono going to play for 45 minutes? Like, how's this going to finish?
They didn't wrap it up with musical anything, right? It just ended kind of strangely, and then that was it.
Yeah, it just ended.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it felt like Cook was about to like build up to like another announcement, and then it was just over.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden they turned the lights out and released the hounds, and everyone went home. In any case, let's go ahead and talk about some of the products that were announced. So I was actually pleasantly surprised by all the different products announced. There was nothing there that was earth-shatteringly new that we weren't expecting. In fact, I think pretty much everything that we talked about in previous shows ended up materializing. Thank you, right before our eyes. But that's not a bad thing. I think that Tim Cook said this is the best lineup of products they've ever had. And I kind of tend to agree with that statement. I mean, they have a lot of amazing products available right now. So let's talk about the biggest one would be the iPad Air 2. It's thinner as we thought it would be, 6.1 millimeters. It's up to 20% thinner than the current iPad Air, which, by the way, still available for sale. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. Are you guys going to be upgrading to the new iPad Air 2? It's thinner. It's lighter. What do you guys think? Available in gold, Alex?
Probably not, dog.
No? What about
gold
you, Leander?
Can't tempt me.
I think it looks great. I think it looks like an astonishing machine. Yeah, I can't wait to get one. I'm really excited about it. Even though I got an old last year's iPad Air, I think it looks amazing. I mean, I think with the addition of the fingerprint sensor and the camera.
Yeah.
Apple Pay. I mean, I was surprised by it even does it's a pedometer too with it. And
that's a little weird, isn't it? It's a pedometer.
Yeah.
Are you going to wear it on your utility belt and walk
around?
Well,
you have it in your backpack.
I've got an armband for it. Yeah.
I wonder how well it would work in your backpack though, because things get jostled around and stuff in your backpack.
No, remember Apple's U-verse campaign where they showed the like hikers using their iPads to climb Mount Everest, like showing them elevation and everything.
I
can totally see them like the barometer and all that coming in handy for weird fringe use like that.
But the barometer, I mean the pedometer though, because it has the co-motion processor or the motion co-processor.
Yeah.
I'm just like, my iPad goes from my bedroom to my bathroom and back and forth. And that's about it. Maybe it's because I'm not climbing mountains with it, but I'm like, I know how many steps it is. I don't need to keep track. Let's run through some of the other features. So I thought this was interesting. I just mentioned this. So even though it's bigger than the iPad Mini Retina 3, sorry, I'm screwing up all these names. Yes, the iPad Mini Retina. It is thinner, and it's actually only a fourth pound heavier. So a lot of people that were playing around with it after the keynote said it actually felt like it was lighter than the smaller version of the iPad. It's got new and improved camera, which can now do time-lapse and 1080p slow-mo. It's got the HD FaceTime camera on the front. 802.11 AC Wi-Fi, which I'm probably the only person who geeks out about that, but I'm glad to see it finally come to all of Apple's mobile devices because it makes a big difference. Apple still claiming 10 hours of battery life, and it's available 16 gigs, 64 gigs, 128 gigs for the same price as before, $499, $599, $699. This part was interesting. So Apple, for the cellular version, has introduced their own SIM called the Apple SIM, which allows people to easily move from different carriers so they could switch on AT&T data, T-Mobile data, and Sprint data, which I thought was very cool because now it means you're basically going to be treating them as a commodity. And whoever gives you the best price is going to be the one who wins your money. I think that's kind of a cool step forward.
Yeah, definitely, it's really cool.
Definitely.
And iPhones will be implemented in the future as well.
Yeah. I've reached out to Apple about that. I'm probably not going to say anything, but that would be really cool if the iPhone eventually worked that way.
You reach out to them?
Yeah.
Do they tell you to F off?
Yeah,
without saying it.
That would be better than what's going to happen, which is going to be nothing. But.
That's actually an improvement. I'm excited to get one too. I'm trying to make the decision. I have the iPad Mini Retina. I'm trying to make the decision between Retina Mini or iPad Air 2. Which one do you have now, Leander? You said you had the regular
iPad
Air.
iPad Air.
Do you feel like it's too big?
No. In fact, I want a bigger one.
That's right.
The only reason I might hold out is because I want to get the 12, the 13 inch one.
Yeah, right. You're gonna get both. Be honest.
Yeah. well, are you still going with the 6 Plus, Airfon?
Yeah. I still have the 6 Plus, and
see,
actually,
that's the
I'm
thing
getting
is
used to it now. I feel like it's actually a normal size phone.
Yeah, I think like the Mini is just kind of like too close to the 6 Plus.
Yeah,
if I were to get a tablet, I would get either the iPad Air or, like Leander, get the 12-inch, which that's what I think I might do.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking as well. And I've tried the Mini for a year now, and I think it's just a great size for a tablet. But I just kind of want to try something different and see how I like it.
If I didn't need my Mac to be mobile a lot, like a laptop, my ideal setup would probably be either a 6 or a 6 Plus, an iPad Pro, like a 12-inch Pro, supposed to be coming out next year, and then like that 27-inch Retina iMac. I think that'd be a sweet setup.
Really? Oh, and then the iMac. So you'd still have a proper computer.
The iPad, I feel like a 12-inch iPad could do pretty much everything except like when I want to actually get like work done.
Yeah, that's a thing. They're great until you actually need to get something done, and then it's like I don't really want to use Pages for iOS to type this report. We also got the iPad Mini 3 Retina. So it's the new iPad Mini. It's Retina, and strangely enough, the iPad Mini is still available. The iPad Mini Retina is still available. And the iPad Mini Retina 3 is still available.
These names are ridiculous.
And I probably am botching the names, but I thought this was really strange. And somebody on Twitter, actually, at JMMcGee79, asked me, he said, really? I'm woefully disillusioned with the company. There's too many products. Tim Cook is repeating Emilio's mistakes. Leander, anything to comment on that? Because well, if you look at it, it's so strange. Like, all the iPads that have been available for the last 2 or 3 years are still available.
I thought it was clever. You know, but for one, you know, they're getting the most out of their production lines. I mean, it takes 3 years to get a production line going for a product like this. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you produce it for a year. And then, you know, if you have an updated product, if you have a radically updated product, then you're going to have a whole new product line. So they're, you know, they're milking the most of their investment, you know, out of the product lines, all the machines and tooling they've set up for the previous machines. And I thought it reminded me of the iPod, you know, the golden days of the iPod, where you can get an iPod Shuffle for $50, and then it hit every $50 price point all the way through to, I don't know, $600, $650. Mm-hmm. And so there was an iPod for every, you know, they said every pocketbook at every price point. Yeah, so in other words, everyone could afford an iPod, and I think this is clever. This is a way for everyone to be able to afford an iPad. And I mean, $250 for the entry level iPad, I think is pretty reasonable.
So they dropped the prices on all the older ones, obviously, but and I totally hear what you're saying, Leander, and I agree. It's really nice that they have a different iPad for every price point, but it's confusing. It's like there's an iPad Air 2, there's an iPad Air, there's an iPad Mini 3, there's an iPad Mini 2, there's an iPad Mini. And it's like, well, how would you describe the differences between these models to somebody who's trying to make a decision? Like the difference between the iPad Air 2 and iPad Air, they're very similar to each other.
Yeah, yeah, right. Well, which is actually not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, I hear what you're saying. It is. And when Jobs came back to Apple in the 97, you know, he said that he saw a flowchart on the wall, you know, how to choose your Mac. And he was like, what's the difference between a 763 CD and a 763 CDI? Uh-huh. And, you know, like, but I, you know, I don't think we're confused, right? And I don't think a lot of consumers are really confused. I mean, we know which one we'll want when we go to the store. And I think, you know, a lot of consumers with a few minutes of, you know, on the web can figure that out too.
Yeah, maybe. What are you going to say, Buster?
Well, I mean, like Leander said, the iPad and the iPhone, they're the new, it's the new iPod. So Apple has to have, you know, as many pricing options as it can. I don't, you know, they had the iPod Classic in a couple different sizes, the Nano and the Shuffle. I kind of see this as the same thing. It's only 5 iPads.
Leander, are you warming up your hog over there?
Sorry, every single day this guy does it.
Do you have more motorcycles outside of your office than anyone I've ever heard?
It's right across the street. If he wasn't a big tough Harley Davidson,
big tough leather wearing Harley Davidson dude.
Words with him.
Yeah, and by harsh you mean very polite.
That's like, excuse me, possibly.
Excuse me, okay, sir. Okay, well, before we hop into the iPad Mini 3, I want to thank Squarespace for supporting this episode. Guys, as I mentioned earlier, Squarespace has just released one of their largest updates in years. Squarespace 7 is here, and it has some really cool new features that I think are really going to be adding a lot to your website. So the first thing up is cover pages. So this is like a splash page that you can set up very quickly, and they're very immersive and beautiful. And it's just a simple one-page website. So if you're putting up a product or you want to have a really beautiful one page splash where your customers land before they enter your website. You could set them up really easily on Squarespace 7. And also they have added Google email integration. So a lot of times if you have your own URL like bustersbeardkits.com, and you want to have orders at bustersbeardkits.com. There wasn't a really easy way to do that. I mean, you could certainly get it working, but Squarespace is built it in. And now you can hook up your Google account to your Squarespace account, and it all just works. So you can actually have that domain that you want to use for your business URL and use Google as a backend for your email, because everyone knows that Google's like web email is the best. Plus, they've added a bunch of new designs, and they have streamlined designing a website to make it even easier than it was before. And if you haven't played around with Squarespace, one of the things you'll notice when you first start is how incredibly easy it is to build a website, and it's beautiful. The entire process is seamless. Their graphics and their animations are all so nice. They put so much effort into polishing the UI that it really just makes it a joy to build a website. And not only is it a joy to build it, it's fast, and their support is great. You'll be up and running in no time. So if you need to build a website for your photography business, for your actual business, an e-commerce website, maybe you want to showcase your work, Squarespace makes that all possible, and they make it super simple to have a beautiful website up quickly. Check it out, squarespace.com, and you can sign up for a free trial. You don't need a credit card or anything, and if you decide to sign up for service, you can save 10% off any order. That's a month of service or a year of service. Just use the code CULTCAST at checkout, and I definitely want to thank Squarespace for supporting this episode. Okay, guys, let's talk about iPad Mini 3. Buster.
Rip off.
I saw that you wrote a piece on Cultimac that said iPad Mini 3 is a gigantic ripoff. Why do you say?
Because there's nothing new on it, and it's still the same price. Nothing new.
It's got a new number.
It's got a new number at the end. Did you miss that part?
I didn't.
Oh, my gosh.
It does have Touch ID.
So it comes with Touch ID, which, by the way, we didn't mention, of course, the new iPad Air 2 carries that as well. So is that it? Touch ID and?
Touch ID, gold option. And, you know, if you're looking for more storage space, if you want 64 gigabytes, you could get like the Mini 3 or 128 gigabytes. But that's it.
Is that literally all there is that's different?
Yeah. I mean, same exact design, same camera. It has an A7 processor, so it's, you know, as powerful as your iPhone 5S.
But we haven't seen the screen yet. It's very possible that it's going to...
No, the screen's the same.
Is it the exact same
screen? All the exact same, except Touch ID.
Well, and gold.
It is available in gold, which Alex likes.
I love gold.
And that's it. That's kind of hard to believe.
Well, and Apple didn't even talk about it at all. I kind of see it as, you know, Apple's almost giving up on the Mini in some ways.
No.
Well, with the 6 and 6 Plus being so huge, I think at this point, Apple would rather sell giant phones than small iPads because they're more profitable, and people are kind of turning towards the iPad Air and the larger iPad in the future anyway. So
I wonder if that's why they anyway. Kind of just glossed over it really fast, because they have the 6 Plus and they know that people are going for that, and maybe their profit margins on that are higher. So yeah. They're like, let's just make a couple minor updates and move on. And that's, I mean, they talked about it for like a minute and they moved on.
Less than, yeah. They mentioned the prices and that it's got, you know, Touch ID, and that was it.
So if you do need more storage space, it's probably something that you should consider, because you can get one in 16, 64, and 128 gigabyte options. Although a refurbished iPad Mini Retina is probably going to save you a little bit more and might get you close to the same price. So, by the way, we forgot to mention all this stuff goes on sale today. Well, tonight, right?
Well, the iPads, sorry. Those are, tonight, tomorrow.
Yeah,
tonight?
So they go on sale on the 17th.
Yeah, pre-orders tomorrow, which is the 17th, so probably midnight
tonight,
which means I'll stay up tonight to order.
Is it tonight or tomorrow though?
Well, it's the 17th.
I'm gonna guess it's 12
o'clock.
It's gonna
be 12 yeah, midnight, exactly. Although what's gonna happen is I'm gonna stay up, the store is gonna get shut down because all the people trying to order. I'll wake up in the morning and they'll all be sold out. And then I'll get robbed.
not that many people are gonna pre-order this thing.
You're probably right.
I don't think the iPad Mini 3 will sell a lot, but the iPad Air 2 is, I think, an awesome tablet. I think you'll have a lot of people ordering that.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to sell very, very well. Let's see here. What do we got? Let's talk about iMacs, Bustier.
Retina ones?
Yeah. So this is a product that people have been asking about. This is probably one of the most asked questions that I see in my Twitter feed. People are always asking if we think we'll see a Retina iMac. It's finally here. And not only is it 4K, but they include an extra K of display for free.
One more K.
Free and, of charge.
And it's pretty cheap too, you know. I was surprised how, you know, it was only what, $2,500?
Yeah. I mean, at that price, I'll buy several.
That's crazy cheap when you think about it, because all these 4K displays that are coming out are like over that, and they're just a display.
Yeah, they're like, you know, a cheap 4K display is like around $1,500. But that's, you know,
there's 4K. There's a lot of like the premium 4K displays that are over $3,000.
Oh yeah,
that designers would pay for, and like it's really aggressive pricing to sell a whole iMac with a 5K display for $2,500.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to be excited about it online. I'm not going to be buying one. I love iMacs. I wish I had a reason to own one, but I don't really have a reason to buy one.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Because I just need everything to be portable. Let's see here. So let's go over some specs real fast. 5120 pixel display times 2880. It has four times as many pixels as the previous 27-inch iMac and 67% more pixels than a 4K TV. But it's also 30% more efficient, so you'll save maybe $5 or $6 a year in electricity. Available today, so they're taking orders on them right now. Do you guys know what the backlog was? Were they shipping right away?
Shipping 1 to 3 days, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so if you want one of those, you might want to scoop one up sooner rather than later. Although I doubt they're ever going to get past like 7 days. I mean,
I don't think
demand for these is going to be huge.
Right.
Available with a 3.5 gigahertz quad core Intel Core i5 processor. Boom. And you can upgrade that to 4 gigahertz. Also available with 802.11ac Wi-Fi. It comes with 8 gigabytes of RAM, and you can option that up to 32 gigs, and the 1 terabyte Fusion drive with an option up to 3 terabytes. How much does this thing cost decked out? Does anyone know?
It's $4,300, or I think $4,400.
Really? That's it?
Yeah.
Wow. Leander, you use iMacs pretty often. Are you going to be getting one of these too?
Yeah. Did you hear me just typing away? I was just responding to
Apple. Are you actually ordering it right now?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we got it priced out. We go through their special business services, and the guy, he was on the phone. He was like, well, you want this, and you'll want that. And I was like, oh, okay,
Of course I do.
32 gigabytes of RAM, add it in. And 3 terabyte drive. And so, I don't know, the one we're looking at is $3,700.
Yikes.
For a 3 terabyte drive, 16 gigs of RAM, and it's a Fusion drive, the 4 gigahertz i7 processor.
Whoa. That's really going to make typing out those blog posts just scream. There's no one that's on the internet is going to be publishing blog posts faster than you.
I hope it's going to be Jim's.
Yeah, no, exactly. I'm not even getting it. This is for Jim.
Oh, the lucky photographer. Duck. Yeah, right.
And he's got a better iMac than I've got. I got a really old one that, is kind of creaky. So actually, I was hoping to get his hand-me-down.
Nice.
So
how old
that's
is
what
his?
I'm holding that for. Actually, we just got it in April.
Okay, so it's still
so in the spring. Yeah, it's not really old.
Yeah, anything that keeps you connected to the internet more reliably, I think yeah. I think is a good purchase.
Well, I'm confused about the screen though. I mean, because I was distracted during that part of the presentation, so I didn't see all of the explanation. But you know, can you actually discern the difference with that many pixels? How close do you have to get?
What do you mean discern? Discern between that and the previous generation iMac?
Yeah, or a 4K display, or you know, an HD display. I mean, if you're back a certain distance, you can't see it, right?
Well, I'll tell you, I haven't seen this one obviously, but we've seen these things at CES every year: 4K displays, 8K displays. The difference is like night and day, Leander.
On the 4Ks, especially from HD to 4K, and especially if it's going to be right in front of your face at your desk, I think you'll definitely notice it.
Yeah. Even to a certain point where it's actually you kind of wish it wasn't so high resolution. I remember this one. I'll never forget. We were at CES.
It's like a horrible dream.
It's like hyper reality. And they We were at the Toshiba booth, I think, and they were showing off these displays, and they had medium format images kind of scrolling across these screens. And one of them was like this picture of a woman. And she was a cute woman, you know, and I got closer and like you could see every little hair on her face. And you could see like this little peach fuzz, like these little peach fuzz patches on her lips and stuff. And I was like, whoa, this is kind of too HD for me.
Sounds hot.
I was like, I don't know if I ever want to see this much detail in anyone's face, because you see things that you would just never notice if you were looking at somebody. Like, I don't want to be able to see how many pores are on your nose. You know what I mean? It just kind of...
What's the insane number of pixels? 17 million, 16.7 or something? How many was
14. It? 14.7 million.
Yeah, that's mad. It's crazy, crazy.
And yet you have to have it.
It's going to be a gorgeous display.
Yeah. And just, everyone was really upset that there was no cinema display.
I was really surprised by that. I mean, what the heck? They already have the display. It's sitting right there.
They could literally just strip the iMac out and sell it as a display.
Right. Especially for the new Mac Pros. I mean, people have got those new Mac Pros. You know, they have to buy a nasty Dell display, right, to get the 4K?
Yeah,
hey,
exactly.
They're not that bad, Leander. they're certainly not super expensive though, which is nice. Well, does the Mac Mini? You got to go.
I have to run. I'm sorry,
okay,
guys.
No worries.
All right. See you guys next week.
All right.
Okay?
All right. Catch you later, Leander. Do you guys know if the Mac Mini actually supports 4K? I don't think it does. Or 5K.
I didn't look.
Yeah, because it comes with like Intel Iris graphics or Intel HD graphics. So I don't think that those specific GPUs are able to support 4 or 5K resolution. I'd be surprised if they were. Well, we still got a few things left to cover. We're going to be talking about the Mac Mini. We're also going to be talking about iOS 8.1. We'll be talking about Yosemite. And then I was thinking I could give you guys an iPhone thievery update.
Oh, yeah?
Because I've had several people on Twitter ask me if I've gotten my iPhone 6 Plus back. So there are some developments in the story, so I would like to share those. And as I said earlier, Buster, when I catch the criminal, I am going to yank his sack off like or maybe pull his heart out like in Indiana Jones. I haven't decided yet. I have to make that decision before we catch him. In any case, I want to thank Swirl for sponsoring this episode. Are you guys familiar with Swirl, Buster?
No.
Alex?
Never heard of it.
I can't even spell. S-W-O-R-L. Swirl is an app that you install on your iPhone, and it lets you easily print, frame, and deliver beautifully wrapped photos quickly and easily from all your iOS devices in under 3 minutes. So it just allows you to do something with all those photos on your iPad, your iPhone, because, you know, you have a bunch of them sitting there, and it's October, you're wondering, hey, you know, what am I going to get for my grandma or for my significant other for Christmas or for the holidays? And Swirl makes it really easy to print out your pictures, and they have all these different frame options, and you can print photos from 4x6, all as large as 16 by 20 inches. And they have both wall frames and then also desk frames, so you can kind of sit it up on your desk. And their prices are really affordable. So you just download the app, which is free. It's on the App Store. And you scroll through the app. You choose your photo. You choose your frame. And in no time at all, you have a finished product. And then once you order it, they send it to you. And actually, I just got my order last week. And it's very nicely boxed. These things ship from Portland, Oregon. So they are made in the U.S., and they have a very good attention to detail. So like when you open the box, the presentation of the frame is very nice. It's sitting in there. It's well packaged. It's wrapped. So if you're sending this thing as a gift, it comes pre-wrapped. And it doesn't look like cheap wrapping paper. It's like very premium quality wrapping paper. And you have this experience as you open up the frame and see it. And it's kind of cool because, you know, you have all these images on your phone and you're just like, you know, what do you do with them besides store them in the cloud? Every once in a while, it's kind of nice to print something and have it, you know, on your wall or on your desk. And it's great as a fast gift or a last-minute gift if you're not sure what to get somebody. You know who loves photo frames, Buster? Grandmas.
Grandmas do. Like
grandmas
my mom does
love
too.
Getting pictures. So do girlfriends?
Yeah.
So do guys who want a picture of a beard on their desk to look at. I mean, that's something that I would love for Christmas, Buster. So think about that. In any case, super fast, super easy. I want to thank Swirl for sponsoring this episode. Hey, head on over to getswirl.com and check out the app, and you can get a 20% off, or you can get 20% off your order with code CULTCAST at checkout when you make your first order. That's use code CULTCAST at checkout. You'll save 20% off your order. Getswirl.com. I want to thank Swirl. That's SWORL.com, by the way, for sponsoring this episode. All righty, guys. Let's talk about the Mac Mini. So many dudes geek out about the Mac Mini, and we get questions quite often about when it's going to be updated. Today, brethren, it has been updated. Fourth generation Intel Core processor, two Thunderbolt, two ports. Intel Irish, or did I just say Intel Irish?
Yep.
That's a feature.
It's a little leprechaun inside.
That's a feature they need to add. Unfortunately, it doesn't have that. What they did add was Intel Iris or HD Graphics 5000 options. It would have been way better with Intel Irish, but Apple's not quite that progressive. Three standard models for you to choose from, one with a Intel i5 processor, 4 gigs of memory, 500 gigabyte hard drive, and the Intel HD Graphics 5000 chip, $499. And then it goes up from there. You can get a model for $699 and $999. Are you guys particularly excited about the Mac Mini?
No. You know, it's great that they dropped the price on it.
Yes. Thank you for mentioning that. Yes.
I think it's, you know, the Mac Mini is usually a lot of people's like first starter Mac. So
really, I thought everyone's starter Mac was the MacBook Air.
Yeah, probably. I guess if you're like a desktop, I don't know. I know that the Mac Mini was the first Mac I bought back in the day. So.
Was it really? Yeah, you just bought one of those and then plugged into a monitor.
Yeah, exactly.
BYOM.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's a good way to do it. I mean, it's a powerful computer.
It's like it's just a cheap way to get into the OS X system, ecosystem, you know?
I'm just amazed that there's a $500 Mac. Like, that's just pretty cool that Apple sells such a cheap Mac now.
And these things work really great as media servers, too, which I know is what a lot of people use these for, is just to have like a media server in your home running Plex or something. Which, by the way, if you haven't checked out Plex, oh my gosh. We've talked about it on past shows. The more I use that app, the more I love it, and it's free. So check it out if you like streaming movies when you're out and about. So yeah, people set them up as media servers to do that type of thing. I know a lot of enterprises use them for doing certain things. Wasn't Ford using Mac Minis to improve their car building assembly line years back?
I don't remember that.
Crickets. No one knows about it but me.
And tons of people use them for like servers and stuff as well.
Yeah. I'm not super excited about these, I'll be honest. But I'm excited for those of you who are excited about them, because I know some of you very much are. But maybe this is why. Like, we're sitting here going through these products, and after the iPhone 6 keynote, that was so manic and so crazy big and so exciting, it's kind of tough to be excited about the Mac Mini, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, we got a Mac Mini.
Especially when, you know, just the internals is what's changed. No redesign or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. Did they say when these go on sale? Is it tomorrow, the 17th?
Oh, they're on sale now.
Oh, they are on sale now. Cool. Yeah. So, well, there you have it. That's all the hardware Apple announced. I think that I'm going to go ahead and pull the trigger on a iPad Air 2. Alex, did you say you're going to get one too?
No, I haven't decided.
Do you have an iPad now?
Yeah, I have an iPad Air.
Okay, so you might just... that'd be a tough call.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about selling my iPad Air because I just don't use it that much. So really? It's hard for me to... it's hard for me to justify getting a new one.
Not even when you make a trip to the bathroom?
Not even.
Are you a magazine guy? Books? novels?
No comment.
Okay, let's talk about iOS 8.1, which is coming Monday. And with it brings Apple Pay and continuity support. I'm actually really excited about Apple Pay. What about you guys?
Yeah, me too, man. I can't wait.
I can't tell if you're being serious.
No, I'm totally serious, though.
You know who's going to be accepting Apple Pay? BustersBeardKits.com.
Oh,
yeah. Yes. We're on the cutting edge of beard accoutrement purchases. So we'll definitely be accepting those payments there.
I just, like, I'm starting to see those NFC things everywhere now. Like, my local CVS, I've realized, has had that NFC thing for a while now, and I'd never noticed it. And now I'm like, ooh, I can use Apple Pay here.
Well, yeah, that's the cool thing is a lot of people, it doesn't even matter if they're, like, signed up for the Apple Pay thing. It's just, even if it's just any NFC terminal, it'll automatically work with most of them.
Really? I was reading something about that, because that's kind of big. There's a lot of retail businesses that have not really said one way or another whether or not they're going to support.
Well, no, I mean, the capacity to support Apple Pay is there for any of them, but the retailers, the merchants have to support it. Like, they have to okay it. Because, like, there's a lot that are holding out. Like, Starbucks, I mean, which I would think would be the first one on board, is not supporting it.
Maybe they're getting their toes stepped on because they're rolling
Starbucks
out their own
did that.
Payment system.
No, they did that big thing with Square, remember?
Yeah.
And so Square's like their mobile payment thing. So I'm guessing there's some people have exclusivity agreements where they can't.
That's the deal with a couple of, like, the major retailers is they have their own, like, competing products for Apple Pay that they are working on, or have a consortium that they have with other retailers that they're trying to do too. Which I think it's stupid. You know, Apple's coming in, you might as well just embrace it, because you're just going to annoy your customers for the next year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be more inclined to shop places that support it. Because I'm just excited to use it. Yeah, exactly.
Like, because I just don't want to bring my wallet places. I can't wait to just take your iPhone and go to the gas station, stuff like that.
That would be very cool. I think it's going to be a while before I'm at a place where I'm like, I can leave all my credit cards and stuff at home. Because I just don't really have a gauge for how many people are going to support Apple Pay, you know, to start.
No, I don't think that a lot of you'll be able to do that off the bat. But
yeah.
I think within the next, I don't know, year to two, it's possible.
We're definitely headed that direction. We're also getting continuity support via iOS 8.1. You'll also have to have Yosemite installed to do that. And that will include, I've said this before, I always feel a little bit dumb when I say it. I'm very excited for Yosemite and these features when I finally have both of these current operating systems installed. So once you have continuity support, you'll be able to send text messages from your Mac, which currently, you can only do iMessages. So now you'll be able to text anyone with a phone, which is really, really convenient. You'll be able to make calls from your Mac. And then you also get the mail drop feature, which allows you to include really large attachments that you could drop into mail, and then you could send them to anyone. And then, you know, if they're on a Mac, their Mac will pull down the file from iCloud. If they're on a PC, they have a link where they can download the file attachment themselves. There's going to be lots of little features like that are going to be all of a sudden accessible to us once we have iOS 8.1 installed, and then also once we have Yosemite installed. Are there any other really cool continuity features? You guys have been using the beta. Maybe one or two that you guys think are really going to be helpful?
It's easier to add a hotspot from your Wi-Fi
drop-down. Oh, that's a great
one.
Yeah, that's a great one, because you don't have to actually enable it on your phone anymore, right?
Yeah, you can enable it from your Mac, and phone calls are kind of cool. I've had a phone call come in on my Mac before, and I was able to just answer it and never pick up my phone. That was pretty cool.
And it shows the caller ID
information
on the screen, right?
Yeah.
That's like some next level-ish right there.
AirDrop
lets you. Yeah, AirDrop's gotten a lot better.
AirDrop
actually
works now.
Yeah, iPhone to Mac.
iPhone to Mac now, which is awesome.
And then there's iCloud Drive, of course, where you'll be able to store any document you want or any file you want, and then it will actually be available to you on your iOS device or computer, which currently you have to do via Dropbox or something like that. But now it'll just be natively built in, which is awesome, because how many times have you needed to pass a file back and forth between your iPhone and your Mac and haven't had a good way to do it? That seems crazy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That should just be natively built in. Okay, and Yosemite, available now, right this very moment, for free, with a sharp new look. It also supports continuity features and allows you to make calls from your Mac. And the aesthetic of it is just remarkable to me. I really like it a lot. I haven't had a chance to download it. I tried it today, and I kept getting a page not available error message. Have you guys heard anything about this?
No.
Have you guys installed it?
On Yosemite? I
mean, yeah. I've been running it for months.
I'm on the GPM, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, bro.
We've running it for 2 months. Okay, well, for us other folks who haven't been running it, if you're getting an error message, by the time you hear this podcast, you probably won't have a problem.
It'll be fun.
Those of us who are trying to install it right away, like that page where you go to actually download it, it's just not available.
Yes.
It gives you an error message.
I saw a few people were having problems with
I think
that.
It's good now.
Is it working now?
It might
yeah,
be.
Yeah, it was doing that for the first like 30 minutes that it went live, but it's good now.
But now it's back and running. Okay. And it's free, so go install it now. Is there anything else we're missing, guys? Is there anything else that I forgot to mention that we should probably bring up before we move on?
Not
that I can think of.
So overall, good keynotes.
Not exactly
the most exciting one in the world.
but we really weren't expecting it to be either. So
I was hoping in the back of my mind for, you know, because Buster and I talked about this morning, you know, the news that, which is maybe something we should talk about separately, that HBO's unbundling their service next year. And CBS is doing the same thing. And I was thinking, well, these two big networks announcing that they're doing internet-only plans, maybe the Apple TV is going to get some time and Apple's going to be like, hey, we've got all these networks on board where you can cut your cable. I thought, you know, that would be really cool. But
I think that's still a possibility. In fact, let's talk about that, because one of the things I wanted to mention is the products that we didn't see that we were hoping for, which would be the 13-inch iPad. That was a no-go. We don't know why. Any ideas why we didn't see that?
No,
guys?
We knew that.
Well, nobody. We always thought that was going to be in 2015.
Okay. Yeah. No updated MacBook Airs, I know.
Same with the Airs. We knew those weren't going to come either.
But when they do, they might be in gold. So good luck to those who wait. And then no updated Apple TV. So.
Yeah, Apple TV felt like the wild card. And like Alex said with the HBO thing, what I thought might have happened was Apple would, like the Apple Watch preview, like some big changes that they're going to make to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, say like, oh, we already have HBO, CBS, and, you know, a couple other like channels on board, which would also pressure other content providers to jump on board with it. But
I think it will be. By the way, we should probably talk a little bit more about this HBO thing. So HBO announced this week that they were going to be allowing people to do an HBO Go subscription, essentially like you would for Netflix, bypassing Comcast and other cable providers, which is a huge, big deal.
Yeah.
Because I know we've wanted something like this for such a long time. Did they say how much it was going to cost, Alex, or when they were actually going to turn this on?
No pricing or exact date, just that it's going to be next year.
Any guesses on the price?
I'm going to say around $15.
Yeah, that's what
you think
I'm
it'll be
thinking.
That cheap?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think any more, I wouldn't pay 20, but I would pay 15 because the content's way better than Netflix.
Yeah, for sure. And they charge what? They charge like 13 or 14 already for HBO Go? Or is it?
Yeah, I think they charge like, what is it? I think they charge your cable company's like $7 and then your cable charges you 15.
I thought it was included with your HBO subscription.
Well, not for HBO. Well, I'm just, HBO Go is included with it. I'm just talking about like HBO on cable costs like $15 or $20, I think.
Yeah, I think it's $20. So you got to think, like, there's no way they could charge more than 15. I think 15 would have to be the max.
Right.
Because otherwise, you just get the TV plan too. Why wouldn't you?
Unless it's also like you get live streaming of HBO, the channel too, which that would be pretty sweet too.
Yeah,
can you do that on HBO Go?
I don't think so. It's just on demand.
They said that it's going to be live. It's going to be everything.
That would be sweet.
Yeah, so you'll get like all the matches and stuff, like sports stuff. And then it makes total sense because, yeah, like you said, they're getting paid like $7 a month or whatever per house from the cable companies. And they could potentially like losing money by making it cheaper. But the thing is they realize that it's not the kind of customer that they're reaching. Like it's a different kind of customer. It's somebody that would never buy cable in the first place. So why not, you know, get them on board for what people who have cable are paying now?
I mean, it's like all us young cool guys, like us kind of guys, like the young,
they said there's
really
like
young and cool guys.
I mean, you're selling. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I think they said there's like 80 million people that they could reach potentially that would consider this. So for sure.
I mean, I would consider, I love Netflix. Netflix is what, $9 a month now?
Uh-huh.
And it has great access from Apple TV, from the Xbox, from the phone. I mean, Netflix is everywhere. But I would consider switching to HBO Go.
Oh, man, instead. Think about that. Like, I would drop Netflix in a second.
I would probably just keep both of them.
I might keep both, too, yeah.
But because, you know, HBO has access to movies as well, probably newer ones than
they're
Netflix.
They're better, yeah, they're newer,
well.
Better movies. The movies that Netflix that. Gets are not exactly, you know, yeah. minty fresh.
I can actually see an argument for keeping both. I think I saw a Gizmodo post where they did, like, a price breakdown of what it would be to have Netflix and, like, this $15 HBO subscription. It would still be cheaper than cable. And Netflix has a much wider back catalog of older stuff. Yeah. Like, they're getting all of Friends, I think, next month. And
what?
So they,
yeah, all of Friends.
So
they have
their own stuff like House of Cards and Orange is the New Black and some stuff.
They got a bunch of original series now, and they're only going to keep getting better.
Right. And so I can see that totally being valuable. And then HBO's got all the awesome new movies as they're coming out.
Not to mention Game of Thrones,
shows,
Rome,
yeah, all the shows.
Deadwood.
So combine that together. I mean, you have no reason to have a cable subscription unless it's like sports. And, you know, ESPN's got to follow them eventually. Like once HBO goes, everyone's going to go.
Oh, and that's all you need. You'll need, like, if you have Hulu, Netflix, HBO Go, and like an ESPN subscription, and it only costs you like $70, that's still probably going to be cheaper than the cable package you have now.
Yeah, seriously, cable packages, at least in the US, I can't speak for elsewhere, but I mean, they're like, if you get like the huge channel packages, which usually include the stuff that you actually want with all the stuff that you don't, they're like $180. They're really expensive.
Right, and that's because they're having to sell it through the cable company, whereas, you know, HBO Go, they're selling it directly to you and me. We're not buying it through a cable package, you know?
And you so got to think, like, if they can only reach, I'm just going to make this number up, let's say they can only reach 1 million people at $20 a month, and they can access the rest of the people directly for $13 to $15 a month, and they get another 1 million people, I mean, that's like gravy for HBO.
Yeah.
Talk about a trip on the gravy train.
I think once you see HBO and now CBS, you're going to see everybody else follow suit as well.
You guys were saying CBS. I thought you were saying CVS.
No, like no, pharmacy. CBS.
Sweet. Yeah, I really want to watch that channel.
I don't think the CBS one is really that exciting, but I mean, you'll get NBC, and then once you get NBC, then ABC has to follow suit, which is also owned by ESPN, and then you got Disney and Nickelodeon and Viacom, and I think you'll have all the dominoes fall in 2015 or 2016.
You could almost call it a crumbling house of cards.
Yeah.
You could keep that. Okay, well, hey, before we wrap up, let's chat a little bit about getting your iPhone stolen from you. So those of you who listen often, you know that I had a thief rob me in a 7-Eleven parking lot. And people keep asking me if I've gotten my phone back. He stole a 6 Plus literally right out of my hand and then took off running. And I chased him. And unfortunately, because he was fast as the wind, not because I'm slow, I was unable to catch him. And then he got into a car and escaped. So I asked our cult cast audience for help. And I've gotten a ton of response. I want to thank everyone who's reached out to me because I think we're going to catch this guy. I really do. I've heard from a crime analyst here in Washington who offered to help me figure out what we could do to catch him. I've heard from two different PIs.
Do these people listen to the show?
Yeah, these people all listen to the show.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they're all listening.
A crime analyst and a PI?
Yeah, and that's awesome. I've heard from a lawyer as well. So we're all working together, and everyone's giving me suggestions on what I should do, and I've gotten some great suggestions so far.
You've assembled this, like, Avengers team.
Yeah, exactly.
Cultcasters, unite! We're going to turn into
but,
like, a giant robot.
Irfan, you know what they say about, you know, kidnappings and stuff is the first 48 hours is crucial. I mean, you're like, he could have that thing like in Shenzhen by now.
But you know what? I don't even care about
you
the money at
find
this point.
Him.
Yeah. I just want to find this guy.
You want to do something.
And I want to sit down with him and have a little chat.
Because you have a very special set of skills.
Exactly. I have a very special set of skills I'd like to share with him. And so we're trying to capture this guy, and I think we're going to. So I haven't gotten my phone back, long answer, longer. But we have confirmed that he was texting me from the text-free app, which is a very popular free texting app on iOS and Android. And via the number that he was texting me from, we have tried to get the information from Pinger because they keep unique identifying information about every device. So I'm
hoping. Do you need a warrant for that?
We may or may not need a warrant for that, but we're actually considering filing a lawsuit to be able to subpoena records. So I know it sounds crazy, but I'm learning all sorts of stuff, all sorts of ways to make justice happen here. So hopefully we'll be able to get the records from Pinger and they'll be able to tell us who the phone belongs to, at which point we could just, you know, approach the person who's paying for the phone. And it could end up going nowhere. I mean, this could be something where, you know, the guy used a stolen credit card. But here's the thing. You can't be texting from a smartphone with an app installed without a credit card. You need to have a credit card. So either he stole a credit card and was using it to buy an app, or, and I think this is probably actually what happened,
His mother's credit card.
Yeah, exactly. And he thought he was being all secretive and anonymous on the internet by using this text-free app, which masks your actual telephone number, not realizing that it's not really that difficult to get that tracking information from the company. So there's where we're at. There's some other stuff that's happened that I can't really talk about at the moment, but we are making progress. So again, I will say to anyone out there who listens to this show, if you're interested in helping, if you have a skill set that we may be able to use, maybe you are good with a blade, email me, airfon@cultamac.com. Let's chat. And with that, I think we should go ahead and wrap it up there. Hey, Gentry?
Lovely.
Okay, let's do it. Hey, guys, make sure you go check out Swirl, getswirl.com. You can get 20% off your first order with promo code CULTCAST. Get your first framed product created in no time at all, and get a gift for someone. Get something for your mom. Get something for your grandma. One of the loved ones in your lives who is hard to shop for. Swirl makes great products for them. That's all the CULTCAST we have for you guys this week. Hey, you know what? If you want to tell us what you think about all the new hardware and software that was released and announced today, make sure you're hanging out with us on Twitter. Alex is Alex E. Heath. Buster is BST3R. I'm at Airfon. And Leander, who's gone, is L. Caney. This has been the CULTCAST, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CULTCAST come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys, Mr. Gold Member. When will we see them?
Next time. Oh, I love gold.
And I heard you love the CULTCAST too.
I love CULTCAST.
's going on, Beardster?
Nothing, bro. What's going on with you?
Just sleuthing.
Sleuthing?
Oh yeah.
Sleuthing and moofing?
That's right. That's what we call it in the industry.
Damn.
I'm gonna catch that fool. And when I do, I'm gonna yank his sack off like a paper towel.
That's pretty fierce, man. That's yeah. Pretty
That's really funny. Buster, don't you feel unusually chill for the end of a keynote day?
Do I feel unusually chill?
Yeah.
I don't know. A little. I mean, I just kind of took like a little 30-minute break on my porch. So
did that 30-minute break involve a marijuana cigarette?
Dude, it involved like 50 marijuana cigarettes. but now I feel all right. It wasn't that exciting, was the thing, you know?
It was pretty boring.
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't boring. Come on.
I mean, it was exactly what was expected, which was really boring, which, you know.
I was kind of hoping for a few surprises, like the 5K display or something.
Yeah, I think Apple just kind of prepped all the news sources to have the exact expectations instead of hoping something crazy was going to happen.
You think so?
I think so. I think Apple definitely does that. They try and, you know, level everything right before the launch, so it's, you know, in line with what's going to happen.
Huh.
Yeah.
Jeez, dude. We got Flatulence Heath over there. He's been burping in for like the last 10 minutes.
God, what a disgusting animal.
You need to smoke a J and chill out, Alex.
Yeah, go.
I know, Buster. Give me some what you got.
I'll email it over to you.
I'm not as close to the
but
border.
But it's going
to
cost you $20. Dude, that weed you emailed me is so good. I am so high right now.
Dude, I can't even. I'm not that close to the border. I don't have easy access.
I know. I'm sorry for you, my friend.
That's true.
Where's Lacaney? Let's see here.
I don't know. I thought he was just on here. He's on the hip chat.
He probably his Skype isn't working.
Just call hip chat.
Slack hip hey. Chat.
Oh,
whatever.
There he is.
There he is.
Weird. I didn't even try adding him back. In fact, I was trying to block him.
You're gonna piss off, okay?
How long until we hear an F word? Counting down.
Well, his whole family's in the room, so not long.
Nice. Hello?
Our keynotes are family events at the Caney household.
I know.
Yeah, sorry. Can you hear the kids?
They make some Orville Redenbacher.
All right, tip's about to start, guys. Sit down.
Leander combs his hair. It's a very special event.
Can you guys hear me or what?
Yeah, yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, I thought you couldn't hear me.
Yeah, you were really far away. We could like barely hear you, but it sounds better now.
But you could also hear the kids.
Not really, there.
Yeah.
I think your mic's on.
Hold on, is that better?
Yeah.
Is
that better?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm making tea. Hold on.
I should have guessed that.
It's 3 o'clock, man.
Yeah, I'm actually wishing I was drinking some tea right now.
Man, Leander's got his tea. Buster's got his weed. I got my chicken. What's your vice, Irfan?
I mean, I just snorted like 3 lines of Coke.
Ah.
But I do it so much now, it just doesn't even affect me anymore.
Coke's the best.
That Miss Doubtfire yell better be really loud today.
It's gonna be like off the charts. You guys are gonna have to take your earbuds out. My computer's gonna explode in smoke.
These guys are a bunch of losers.
The salmon is so good.
I'm so hungry.
Just chowing down.
I can hear that.
It's on a cedar plank.
Yeah? Are you dressed very nicely, too?
Of course I'm in the suit.
When you drink or when you eat a nice meal by yourself, you're still just dressed in the nines?
Yeah.
You just finished polishing your shoes and now you're eating your salmon?
Mm-hmm.
Man, your class level is just admirable.
I know.
I don't even know how to get to that level.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe put on a Kangol hat like Leander does.
Oh.
That definitely takes it up a few notches.
I feel like you got to be British to pull off the Kangol hat.
Or Samuel Jackson.
The episode title's got to be Chairman Honeycrisp.
Yeah, actually, I was thinking the same thing.
I thought that was hilarious, man.
Uh-oh, we lost Alex. Alex, you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, you cut out.
Oh, yeah, we didn't hear what he said.
Come on, I'll do me a huge favor this afternoon. There's a gaming laptop in the next room.
Okay.
Is Leander in the office or
I don't
home?
Know where he is, but everyone's there with him apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently a T-Rex just broke in.
He has the kids there running the blog. Apparently somebody doesn't want to. It's a Kahaney sweatshop.
He's over there. You only gave one to one of your friends.
He's like, these are really cool. I'm going to keep these.
No, he doesn't want that crap. He already bought his own.
Sticking up his IRS thing.
I took you down.
I wish Nadine would.
You don't actually get them. Apparently, Dad gets them. He's super excited about it.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I've got a very important podcast to do.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Off you go now. See you later.